From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, November the 15th, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hear yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. That ticks all the boxes there, at least all the important ones. And to get things started, what do you say we indulge in?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. I like this. It says, a jury consists of 12 people chosen to decide who has the best lawyer.
Wow.
That's true. Definition of a lawyer? Well, that's the larval stage of a politician.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast, shall we?
Twisted history.
This is exciting.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history. Some cool, some not so cool.
I know.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
Sure, why not? Well, it was on this day in 1965, the amazing Craig Breedlove set a land speed record of 600.601 miles per hour in his car, the Spirit of America. He did this at the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. What was he thinking? Probably something like, wow, this is really fast, dude. And it was on this day in 1971, Intel released the world's first commercial single-chip microprocessor, the 4004. You know, about the only thing most of us really know about Intel is this. I'm sure you've noticed that on a day-to-day basis, our government seems to impose itself upon our private lives at an ever-increasing rate, and yeah, on a day-to-day basis, because we don't look in on Congress on a regular basis to see what it is that they're up to. What kind of laws are they proposing? What kind of laws are they passing? And if you could see a readout, if you could have just a spreadsheet of the laws that Congress has passed in just the last few years, laws that actually give them not just the right, but the duty, the way they write these laws, to impose themselves on our daily lives, you would freak out. And I have a great example here. I want to introduce you to a lady by the name of Lauren Fix. She's one of the founders of an outfit called Car Coach Reports. And she watches the automotive industry very closely. And what you're about to hear from her is hair-raising stuff. It's already been passed. It is a law. And it's about to take place in 2026. Understand this. The automotive industry had little, if anything, to do with this law. But comply. They've been given no choice. And you'll be able to speak loudly with your dollars. But here's Lauren Fix.
The car kill switch subject has been very heated. So I have an update for you from the House floor. Republicans have helped the Democrats preserve that kill switch that is going to be in your new vehicle starting in 2026. So I recently covered what was snuck inside the $1.2 trillion 1,100-page infrastructure bill. It's a proposal to have a lockout device to be installed in all new cars, and this is no joke. They've already passed this in the House and in the Senate, and I covered it before. You can check that out up here. But let's take a closer look at the infrastructure bill they jammed through. This is Section 24220. You can write that down, 24220. I'll have links down below as well. This mandates installation of equipment to listen to in-car noises and conversations, monitor your eyes, which you're already doing, and kill switches to automatically turn off your car. Now, it states all new cars in the United States will be required to install these kill switches by 2026. We're already showing you 2025 cars on our channel, on our Car Coach Reports channel, and this is really, really scary because we're going to be seeing this coming very soon. And this section was passed allegedly to stop drunk drivers, which would make sense. But the law is very broad, and the concern is that it may lead to government abuse of privacy, especially as the government wants more and more control over your car. And you're seeing this with all these new additions, backup cameras, and more time to put on your seatbelt, and lots of buzzers and nannies. So the House Republicans brought it to the floor and tried to defund Section 24220. House Republicans, led by Representative Thomas Massie, failed to defund this federal kill switch mandate Tuesday night, requiring all vehicles produced by 2026 and onward to feature this technology that can automatically disable the vehicle. What it says in the bill, and I'm not making this up, in quotes, if impairment is detected. Now, this lays the groundwork for corporate and government access to monitor and interfere with your personal movements. Now, not just tracking your eyes, but listening in your car. But this is not done by a human being on the other side said, oh, you avoided a squirrel. This is done through AI. And we've talked about AI in the past and how it's integrated into your car. This technology will tell a lot about you. And don't worry, like we said last week, they'll be selling that data as well. Now back to the vote. By a vote of 229 to 201, the lower chamber rejected an amendment proposed by Kentucky Republican Representative Thomas Massie to defund the mandate embedded in the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Now, Massie's measure received 210 no votes from Democrats and 19 Republicans, and just two Democrats supported the amendment, and 199 Republicans voted for the removal. Eight members did not participate in the late night vote. Representative Massie stated on X or Twitter, in quote, during the debate last night on my amendment to defund the 2026 kill switch mandate for cars, some Democrats claimed the technology would not monitor or disable cars, even though he read the actual law on the House floor and it does say that it will. Has anyone else actually read this bill before they passed it? No, they just vote on it. It's obvious that no one's reading these until much later. We have to pass it to see what's in it. The 2021 infrastructure law passed by Congress requires car manufacturers to include, in quote, advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology, close quote, as standard equipment in vehicles. The provision requires such technology to passively monitor the performance of a driver and, in quote, prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if impairment is detected. In other words, manufacturers will be required to implement a kill switch mechanism on cars that can disable the vehicle based on your performance. Now, the fact checkers say, oh, this is no big deal, and it's only for drunk driving. This is far from true. They've been making breathalyzers in cars in 31 states for ignition switch interlock devices for decades. And where it can be helpful, if you're someone who gets a lot of DUIs, you'll have to blow through it in order to start your car. But that shouldn't be for everyone. The bill also has the ability, it says, car manufacturers need to somehow passively monitor the air in the car to see if you've been drinking. The problem with that is, what if you're a designated driver and you're trying to get someone home who did drink too much? There are so many ways this could go wrong, and basically, backseat driver or another nanny in your life. Massie did note that Democratic Republican Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC of New York, was one of the most liberal members of the House, voted to remove the provision. That is very interesting. I truly hope this is not added to motorcycles as well. As a rider myself, this is really dangerous. And for cars, the negative impact could be deadly. Imagine avoiding a squirrel, a pothole, or anything else that might be in the road. A carcass from a tire. Who knows? And they'll think that you're out of control and that you're impaired and shut down the vehicle on a dark road with no shoulder. Hey, why not? Let's just look at all the possibilities. What if you're rushing to the hospital or you've taken a prescription drug? This is a bad situation. There are many ways to disable a car from drunk drivers. Who's making the decisions, by the way? Is it the car? Is it the government? Is it a third party? Or is it purely AI? Do the research yourself and see if your elected representative voted for or against this line item. I'll put a link for that down below. And here's one last thing to chew on. How do you appeal this conviction if your vehicle pulls over to the side of the road and you have a kill switch on? What are you gonna do? Sit on the side of the road? Car won't run? Who knows where? Stranded? This is scary. Getting stuck on the side of the road on itself is not good, but be very careful what you allow to happen. Safety or freedom. You cannot have both. I'll put the roll call down below with the description. You can call, email, and write your elected officials. This is dangerous, this is overreaching, and we need to state our case or we are going to be in a bad situation. Let's stand up and get rid of these kill switches. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
This is a perfect example, though, of the old fable about throwing the frog into a pot of boiling water. If the water's already boiling, you throw the frog in there, the frog's going to jump out. But if you put the frog in a pot of cool water and then heat it up, the frog will stay in there until it's boiled to death. And that's what's happening to you and me, my friend. Washington is busy about the task of passing oppressive laws. Yeah, I know their intention is good. But you know what they say about the road to hell is paved with good intentions? That's Washington, my friend. And they are busy about the task of taking away your freedoms, little by little, a little more every day. Why is our country on a suicidal path? I mean, we are committing suicide. How many times have you heard me use that old Walt Kelly line? We've met the enemy and he is us. And with the election of Joe Biden, we're playing Russian roulette. Okay, with the election of Joe Biden, we slipped one bullet into the chamber. And we've already spun the cylinder. And now we're holding the gun to our head waiting to pull the trigger. And part and parcel to the suicidal path is the BS that is constantly being shoveled by our so-called journalists. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, that if you watch anything other than Fox, you're not going to find any military veterans among this crop of journalists. Whenever I write the word journalist, I want to put quotation marks around it. And a great example is this guy, John Harwood. Now, Harwood is a self-described journalist, okay? He's not a journalist by anybody with a healthy mind, okay? When you look at his body of work, you realize this guy is nothing but a shill for the left. And he issued a post on social media asserting that journalists should do a better job communicating that the nation's economy is doing well and that President Joe Biden is handling the job effectively. What a bunch of crap. Story comes to us through Glenn Beck's The Blaze. Harwood also described former President Trump as having a deranged mental state and accused him of flagrant criminality. And I just want to ask this guy, Harwood, have you been looking into the Biden family, the Biden crime family? Have you looked into any of that at all? So here's what he wrote. He X'd this. He tweeted it. Biden needs expert political guidance. Voters are unhappy. Trump could win despite his flagrant criminality and deranged mental state. Journalists need to better convey two realities, including that the U.S. economy is doing well, not poorly, and that Biden at 80 is handling the job effectively right now. John Harwood, what kind of a reality are you living in? If anybody's deranged, it's you. I'll even defend Joe Biden in this. Joe Biden is in mentally better shape than you are, Harwood. Now, Americans have been contending with the financial burdens caused by inflation, and Biden is underwater in job approval polling. You've been seeing the polls. This man is so far down, he's got to reach up to hit bottom. And someone wrote in response to Harwood, thank goodness, realities but tough sells. I'm reading that literally. It says, when a restaurant tells me this, I think the economy is doing poorly. So then what he was doing was he was making reference to this notice that was posted on a restaurant door. Listen to this. 2023 surcharge. Our restaurants have been operating with extraordinary increases in the cost of doing business, high inflation, rising wages, and supply chain challenges have continued beyond the pandemic, creating a difficult operating environment. We have reluctantly chosen to implement a separate 3.75% fee for 2023. This is not a gratuity, with the hope that it can be eliminated in the future. Well, think about this. The first thing that Biden did when he sat down behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office was he signed paperwork nullifying everything that Donald Trump had accomplished, particularly domestic energy policy. That was the first trigger of inflation, domestic energy policy. And the price of fuel for everything, diesel fuel, fuel for powering power plants, natural gas, coal, whatever we use, the price for all fuels went up, doubled immediately, overnight, doubled. In some places, tripled, like out in California. I can't imagine having to pay $7.50 for a gallon of gasoline. But that's what they're paying in some areas in California. Now, that was the first trigger to inflation. The second trigger to inflation was getting involved in wars. Oh, yeah, the Democrats love war. So now we're at war in Ukraine. And I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before we start sending our own flesh and blood over to that confrontation if we don't get rid of this administration. I can just about guarantee you. Because, you know, all they're wanting to do now, and Republicans are going along with this too, this insanity in Washington, they want to keep sending money to Ukraine and draw this war out indefinitely. Being a veteran of the Vietnam era, I am not technically a Vietnam veteran. I didn't do a year's tour over there. But I did serve in the Vietnam era. And I learned enough to know that our government loves long, drawn-out confrontations. Now, why they love this, I don't know. It's not good for our economy. It's not good for voter morale. It's not good for anything, really. I mean, it's too bad that we can't just go into Washington and fire everyone, fire them all, and put new people in there. Yeah, fire the good ones, too. But that would be just as chaotic as what we're dealing with right now. But I do like this idea of impeachments. Now, they're very hesitant to impeach people in Washington because they're, well, if they can do that to him, then they can do it to me. And I understand that reality. But maybe we need to start filing more impeachments. And you can start with this guy Mayorkas, that lying sack of crap DHS border security. Yeah, the border's secure. Sure it is. I'm tired of being lied to. And so now you got people like this guy, John Harwood, calls himself a journalist. He used to work for CNN. He doesn't work for them anymore, which ought to tell you something. But he's willing to rubber stamp everything that Biden wants to do because he himself, Harwood himself, is a Democrat. He's a leftist. So anyhow, in response to this guy who was talking about the note that was up in the door at the restaurant, Harwood replied, "I'm not talking about sales, which is the job of campaign strategists. I'm talking about reporting what's true, which is the job of journalists. Boom or bust, there's never a time when many, many Americans and businesses don't struggle to make ends meet." He then added, "The issue is compared to what?" So there again, it points out what an idiot this guy Harwood is. I remember a couple of occasions in my lifetime when businesses weren't struggling. How about the 8 years under Ronald Reagan? That was pretty good. And I'll give credit where credit is due. The economy did pretty well under, yes, Bill Clinton. I heard it said more than once that Bill Clinton was the best friend the Republicans in Washington ever had. Because Clinton at least understood. I'm talking Bill Clinton, not to be confused with his battle axe of a wife. But Bill Clinton understood the importance of a healthy economy. And he saw what the Republicans were pushing in Washington, and he went along with it. And it didn't hurt him. I mean, he sailed right into re-election. So anyhow, Mark Hemingway comes along and he pushed back against the notion that the economy is doing well. He said, "The job of journalists here is not to sway elections, much less traffic in overtly dishonest talking points. The economy is pretty bad, and Biden is responsible for many of the problems. Very true. Very true. But the only reason I bring this up is because so many Americans still to this day rely on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, CNBC. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean CNBC. I meant MSNBC, or as Mark Levin calls it, MSLSD. And they rely on these entities and printed media, like the New York Post. I'm sorry, the New York Times, the Washington Post. Yeah, I mean, if you want some reality, go to the New York Post. That's a good publication. I find some fault with them, but very little. So when you have people like this guy, Harwood, harboring this kind of a philosophy in journalism, my God, somebody, please, buy this guy a ticket to Beijing, will you? Speaking of national suicide, the biggest challenge to Joe Biden might not even be in the race yet. And you probably have already suspected that there is a shadow campaign being waged by Gavin Newsom. Oh, he's going to run for president, believe me. Here's something from The Guardian. It said, amid concern over the president's poll ratings, Gavin Newsom appears to be running something of a shadow campaign. One of the strongest candidates for U.S. president in 2024 may be one who's not yet in the race. There's growing evidence that Gavin Newsom, the charismatic and energetic Democratic governor of California, is running something of a shadow campaign to Joe Biden and ready to step up if or when the incumbent is out of the running. Well, the thing that bothers me about Gavin Newsom is look at California. He has destroyed that state. Now, he didn't do it single-handedly. It was well on its way before he became governor. But as governor, he has solidified the death of the state of California. Nobody in their right mind would move to California. Now, several developments in recent days suggest that Newsom, who's romped to re-election a year ago without really campaigning. He didn't campaign for that. They just voted. That just shows you how sick the voters of California are. Anyhow, he's ready to bring forward what was already expected to be a strong run for the presidency in 2028. And this week, according to The Guardian, this week, Newsom made a financial donation to a Democratic mayoral candidate in Charleston, South Carolina. That's 2,800 miles from his governor's mansion in Sacramento. So reaching into political elections in other states is, according to experts, a sure sign of a potential presidential candidate wishing to raise their profile on the national stage. And Eric Schickler, who's a professor of political science at University of California, Berkeley, and co-director of its Institute of Governmental Studies, said South Carolina is an early state in the primary process for Democrats, and doing well in the early states is seen as momentum for later ones. I mean, even Democrat Senator John Fetterman hinted at it. Fetterman said at a dinner in Iowa, he says, right now there are two additional Democrats running for Pennsylvania, excuse me, running for president right now. One is a congressman from Minnesota. The other one is the governor of California. They're both running for president, but only one had the guts to announce it. It's kind of interesting that Fetterman seems to be regaining his ability to speak and communicate. I mean, just that little slip there. He says, right now, there are two additional Democrats running for Pennsylvania, running for president right now. I mean, that's, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've heard him say a few things that, I mean, he's able to form complete sentences. But there you have it. I mean, Gavin Newsom, he's not fooling anybody. This guy's going to run for president, and he may try to slip in. Let me put it this way. The best analogy I can draw for you is he's got his foot in the door. The Democrat Party is probably trying to slam the door on him, but he's already got his foot in the door. And the thing that bothers me about him is not so much that he's destroyed California. If he wants to destroy California and those idiots, those brain-dead idiot Californians want to continue to vote for this bastard, fine, that's their business. But the fact that the American voters are so gullible and so stupid that they'll vote for the guy with the most charisma. Doesn't matter that the person has a plan for national suicide. That doesn't matter to the average voter. The average voter just wants the more charismatic or the better looking candidate. And if that's the way you vote, then you deserve to live in a country that's committing suicide. But please, don't ask me to go with you on this trip. Don't ask my kids to go with you on this trip. We've got to do some important things. Only the things that Donald Trump is talking about. We've got to put an end to this Ukraine war. We've got to put an end to this problem in the Middle East. We've got to put an end to this problem we have with China. Because if we don't, this country in the first 18 months after the re-election of Joe Biden or the election of Gavin Newsom, this country will be totally bankrupt. And we will be in a position that'll make the Great Depression of 1929, which didn't clear up until about 1939. Ask the few people who were still alive who lived through that. It's gonna make that period of the Great Depression pale in comparison. You may very well, especially if you're young enough, if you're a 20-something, a 30-something, if you're a Gen Zer, a millennial, there's every possibility that if we continue on the current path that this country is on, you will end up homeless. We need some laughs, so let's enjoy a few with Josh Sneed.
Guys, we got an obesity problem in this country. And I know you're like, is this dude about to make fun of fat people while using his stomach as an armrest? And the answer is yes. I sure am. Okay, you don't have to clap. It's not supposed to be the funniest thing I've said so far, okay? I understand where I'm at with this body. There's so many little signs that tell you you need to fix it, all right? You need to get it together. Like, I'm in a way now where if I raise my hand higher than this, I gotta fix my clothes when I put it back down. Little signs let you know it's time to clean it up. Had another one recently when I was on an airplane and the Delta flight attendant asked me to switch seats to balance out a 747. That will ruin your day instantly. And I know it wasn't me, all right? I know it wasn't me. It was where I was sitting versus where there were too many empty seats. But when you're a little self-conscious about your weight, you can't process that. You can't rationalize. That's not what you hear. What you hear is, sir, if you go 10 feet that way, the whole plane will fly properly. Could you help us out? Could you help us out? Thank you. Thank you. It's very kind of you. And if you have to use the restroom, please ring your call button so we can send two people back to your seat. I don't want to go nose up right into the sun, okay? Yes, I'll give you some extra Biscoff cookies for this hassle. Yes, I will. I know they're your favorite, yes. I'm a little optimistic. My weight's gone up and down my entire life, and I blame the Book It program. Some of you know. If you're unfamiliar, when I was in elementary school, Pizza Hut decided that the best way to solve the illiteracy problem was to offer children a free personal pan pizza if they read four books, or told their teacher that they read four books. And it was great. It was great when you were a kid. You got pizza for doing homework. But 25 years later, nobody's making you read books. You're hooked on pizza. That's kind of what I'm going through right now. I just love food. And it's not that I eat too much. I just eat the wrong things. I love bad food, you know? But I know I'm not the only one. I mean, Bath & Body Works was selling a candle that smells like mashed potatoes. How fat are you? Okay? When you want your bedroom to smell like buttered mashed potatoes. This fat. I got the gravy one too. You guys, it smelled so good. I'm not gonna lie. I can't lie to you. You're so nice. It smelled just like them. It was buy one, get one. And I got a free bottle of fried chicken body wash because I opened up a credit card to pay for it. Like, it was totally a good deal.
Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.